Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Sunny.
No, it's despair.
Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday to all of you.
Finally, now that we're
on we're on the air. Sorry about that, guys. We're running a bit late. But hey, you know what? I got Steve Silva with me.
How you doing?
And we got Paul Preston with us.
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
And I am
fungi.
Sean.
Yeah. Ooh, that's me.
And I am Sean Roberts, and today we are broadcasting you live from the Orange County Fair. This is the Orange County Fair version of your weekly dose, and we're going to be having a good time today.
And I'm producer Zach.
Yeah, I'm sorry, did I forget you, Zach?
Yeah, you forgot.
I mentioned
yourself twice.
Gee, many crickets. I'm sorry, Zach.
It's been a little stressful time here getting set up for the fair.
It has.
Yeah, well, you know, if you have finally joined, or we finally joined you, welcome, and we're glad you're here every week. And those of you who have not been here every week, shame on you. Make it a thing. Now,
this is not our weekly dose. This is your week. This is for you.
Yes, that's right.
Your weekly dose.
And if you don't become your, then who are you?
You're they.
Stupid replaceable listener.
Okay, well, anyway, here we are paying homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian, as we still are trying to vote them into the Radio Hall of Fame. Don't forget to vote, everybody.
Two more days left.
It's so easy. You just have to do a text and an email, and it takes about 2 minutes, so it's really fun to do. So anyway, people who recently started following us, welcome to the family.
Yeah, we got a few more listeners out there, so we really appreciate it. We got a neat show for you guys today, or at least we hope it is. Again, we are broadcasting live from the Orange County Fair, so if you guys are coming down, we'll be here till probably about, what did we figure out?
Probably like 1.
About 1 o'clock or so. If you enter the green gate, basically, just kind of go to your right, go up the little ramp there. We are right next to the Home Slice gazebo here and across from the live band karaoke and the entrance to the Pacific Amphitheater.
And this is a really, really informative area to be in because everything you would want to know about the Orange
is there.
Right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, so
exactly.
Shall I read up one of them now?
Well, first of all, let everybody else know what we got going on. So, of course, we got Paul with us today. So we'll be doing movie reviews with Paul live with us here. And then, of course, we got today's also New Jersey Day as also a Cowboy Day. National Cowboy Day, believe it or not.
I heard a gunshot.
Yeah, and so we got some facts for you. We're going to be trying some fair food, hopefully.
It's better than that.
Yeah, and
I can't tell if the gunshot was in honor of Cowboy Day or New Jersey Day.
Exactly. Depends on what part, you know. Hey.
It might be both.
You never know. And we're going to see if we can try and get out and about a little bit here and try a few things and see what goes on. And also we've got some signs. Because there's a lot of teenagers here at the fair and everything, and I think there might be some Amish teenagers among us, and we're going to give you some signs that might show that your Amish teenager's in trouble.
Yeah, you can tell when the Amish teenagers walk by, they're wild.
They are. Yeah, there goes one now.
They've been given permission to do anything they want.
Exactly.
We're out of control, young lady.
So we got a heck of a thing. And the county fair was the theme today by the Beach Boys. And what better theme than county fair by the Beach Boys? Because they performed in Orange County quite a number of times down in Huntington Beach when they first started out.
I remember when I was a teenager, they first started out. They were at Cortland's department store in Highland Park on Figueroa.
Wow.
And went down to see them. And they were all looked like they were 15.
They were.
Yeah.
And you were what, 34?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was really young then. Yeah, 34. Okay, now don't forget you can interact with the show, commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And not only can you download the show for free from our website, we can also go subscribe through the show through iTunes, Podbean.com, iHeartRadio, Google Play.
.com.
Yes. And Stitcher Radio. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And more importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show as well.
Now, as always, we need to give a shout out to our sponsor.
Amazon!
Everybody say it together. Amazon. Because without them, we cannot do this show for all of you, so they've been with us since day one.
Absolutely. You know, there's no better place to go shopping than Amazon. They've got everything there. So, you know, what you want to buy, just get to Amazon. They've got, I mean, everything. All you need to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on our Amazon banner and bookmark it. That's the most important thing. That way, every time you want to shop on Amazon, you use the bookmark link, and by doing so, you help the show stay on the air.
Now you can get all your shopping done without facing all those massive crowds we see at the shopping malls and everywhere, all the stores like Kmart and things like
Target.
That. Target.
Yeah.
Kmart.
Yeah.
At Montgomery Ward.
Steinmart.
Yeah. Hey, that's Monkey Wards to you, sir.
Sears.
I just wish Gemco were still here. That was my favorite store.
Ames.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Zodis.
Big N.
Fedco.
Now,
PetSmart.
Today, I did an interesting thing today. I at Amazon.com, I keyed in fair.
Uh-huh.
Amazon fair. And guess what? There is something.
Really?
You can go onto Amazon with Amazon Pride.
Pride?
Amazon Pride.
Prime?
Steve's full of pride.
It depends whether there's a parade or not. Okay.
Or the Pride Lands of
it
Amazon.
It came up with a video you can rent or buy
this
about the world's greatest fair. And it was the World's Fair from 1904, which was the largest World's Fair in history.
Wow.
Yeah, there's hundreds of images of early film footage and engaging interviews, bring life stories of dog-eating tribes on exhibit, marathon runners openly administered drugs, and the alleged creation of the ice cream cone. And
wait, did you say drugs?
Iced tea. I did.
Oh. Hugs, not drugs, kids.
Oh.
Yeah, so
I just got one word, overalls. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Good
thing
the speaker's not on.
Yeah, the overalls are... We don't have the speaker on?
No.
Oh, dang it.
Well, spoiler alert.
Go on to Amazon Prime, Amazon, and look up the video for the world's greatest fair.
I don't think the mics are on. Don't worry about it.
As long as I can hear me, I don't care.
Yeah, that's actually a wall that we're looking at right now, not the fair.
Oh, and remember...
I already forgot.
What did you...
Well, let's put it this way. If you're going to do all of your shopping online, there's only one place to go, and that's Amazon.com. Use our Amazon banner to get the job done.
And remember, when you use our Amazon banner, you help support the show. Amazon, work hard, have fun, make history! And that's all, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, it's always relief when we get all that done.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. It really is. Well, once again, guys, we've got we got 2 days left to get Mark and Brian into the Radio Hall of Fame. Tomorrow is the last day. So today, tomorrow, and then we wait, I believe, until August 5th is when we, I think, find the results out, something like of that nature there. So please, make sure you go out and vote. You want to go to radiovote.com. And
Paul's picking up his phone
right
as we speak.
And basically just put in your email and it'll ask you to submit it. You'll scroll down, find Mark and Brian, click submit. It's going to ask you, do you approve of this? Hit submit again, and you're done. It's that easy. It's that simple. If you're going to do it via telephone, do we have the number?
Text it, rather.
Give me 10 seconds.
Okay. It's really simple. You're going to dial this particular number, and you're going to text the number 30 to the number itself, and we're getting that right now, so give it out to you.
Hang on.
What's that?
Hang on.
Okay, no worries.
Oh, this is going great.
No, we're fine.
Overalls.
Yes.
Overalls.
And text it to them, and that gives you one another way to vote. So you can vote twice. So if you got multiple emails, that's the best way to do it because they'll get the most votes that way. But of course, one phone number per text on that, and it's just simple. So
strike that, reverse it. One text per
one text per phone number. Phone number. What did I say?
One phone number per text.
Yeah. There you go. And Paul just did it.
Yay!
Yay! Thank you, Paul.
Easy Paul, what's that number, Paul? Because my status
bar. Oh, I just did it via the email. Or via the website.
He just did it via the email.
RadioVote.com. Easy peasy.
Yeah, so anyway, but you can go to the Radio Hall of Fame and find the number there, too, and it'll tell you. If not, go to the links that Laura Stringer has put up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the Mark and Brian RHOF, and I'm sure they're there as well. We just forgot to look it up right now. That's, you know, hey, that's us. So,
well, we've already done it, so.
Yeah. Anyway, so today's Mark and Brian past moment. Paul, let me ask you this. Have you ever accidentally sent a text to the wrong person?
Yeah, but never to the comedic heights that it could have been.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this
usually
one,
just administrative stuff. Like, oops, this was meant for somebody else.
Well, this one I think you're going to enjoy. I don't think you've ever heard this. Mark's wife, Linda, basically sent the text that was meant to Mark, and she actually accidentally sent it to somebody else in the family. And it's pretty embarrassing. So if we could go ahead and play that.
Oh. And by the way, text the number 30 to 877-370-8683. Again, text the number 30 to 877-370-8683.
Cool. Thank you, Zach.
You're
and
welcome.
Let's go ahead and play that Mark and Brian past moment.
I would love to.
Got a story to share. Hey, Priva. Why don't you join? Because Priva and my wife text back and forth and they get a kick. There's not a day goes by that I don't ask my wife on a daily basis, what are we doing for dinner? And the reason I do that is because I need to know if I'm cooking or not.
Because you cook a lot for the family.
I do. Yeah. I enjoy cooking, and right. I just kind of got to get in the mindset of I'm going to cook. So I'll always ask, what are we doing for dinner?
And you leave it up to her?
Pretty much. She'll decide what we're eating, she'll get it, and then I'll cook it. She'll get the ingredient. So yesterday she gets a text that says, what are the dinner plans? So she texts back, why don't we just eat each other? Smiley face.
Mm.
As she pushes send, she realizes she's just sent that to her son, Matthew, who is asking.
Oh, my God!
Oh.
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 Oh, oh,
oh. Oh, Oedipus, oh, Oedipus, how lovely are your texts?
And immediately she gets the text back, oh, my God, Mom!
Oh, my God.
That's great.
Well, Matt was freaked out. Matt, sometimes I will share a little story here about Linda and I doing something, and I'll get a text from Matt.
Right.
Thanks for the image, asshat.
Right.
He's uncomfortable with that.
Well, we all are.
And for her to send him, why don't we just eat each other? Let me give her a flip.
Yeah, you don't want to hear anything that your parents are doing or have done or, great, you have a healthy relationship. I don't want to hear about it.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God.
And I've done that before where you send the wrong text, but it's usually see you Tuesday.
Right.
Not why don't we eat each other.
Hello?
Linda.
Oh, gosh.
You slut you. Whore you. You sexter you.
Oh, okay. Now, first off, I have to tell y'all that that was the first time I had ever sent any kind of text like that.
Sure.
Yeah, come on.
Good one.
She doesn't. She usually doesn't. And the one time she does, it's not to me.
It's to her boy.
Yeah.
Now, what would have been great if you, when you heard about it, you immediately text Matt, I am thinking about that tight little ass of yours. I mean, just keep it going. Why not? You've already jumped the shark.
Well, needless to say, Matt immediately took a picture of that text. He sent it to his sisters.
Oh,
you know.
Oh, funny.
His sisters were sitting right there with me when I hit. They saw my face when I hit
send. Oh, God.
What's the matter? So then I have to tell my daughters what I just did.
Oh, Linda. Funny, though. Come on. Funny now.
Oh, we laughed about this all day and all.
I laughed about it all day, but it's still just horrific.
Why don't we just eat each other?
Oh, my God.
Matt's going to be up on top of a skyscraper gunning people down.
Oh!
Politics. explain to him what happened, because in my old phone, I had him under Matthew. But with this new phone, with the Siri, all I have to do is say, call Matt.
Right.
And so I changed it to four letters, and Matt and Mark, and it all looks the same, and I'm explaining that to Matt.
Yeah,
and
he doesn't.
He goes, could you just change it back to Matthew?
Well, the fact that this is the first one you ever sent, your first foray into sexting, that makes it even funner.
Yeah, well, it's never going to happen again, yeah. Ever, ever, ever.
Oh. And he doesn't care about all the Matthew, Mark. He just knows you're going to eat his dad. Like, ew.
And then I'm like, Matt, I'm really, really sorry. And I said, by the way, it's, like, couldn't figure that out. It's date night. Oh. Matt was off doing his thing last night. Oh, my God.
Well, it's just too freaking hysterical. And by the way, she did.
Okay.
And did you?
Nice.
It escalated to,
I got you.
You know, we got to get this done.
So basically, it was a 68.
It was.
She did you, and you owe her one.
I do. Linda, yeah. I owe.
Right.
I owe.
All right. Well, Linda, funny story. Sorry it happened. It happens to everybody, but not quite at that level.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Dude, keep it up on Matt, though. I love poking fun at him. Yeah. Dude, keep it up. Just keep sexting him as parents.
Linda, I'll see you later.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Funny, Linda. Very funny.
God almighty. That is just too good.
Wow. What an experience, you know?
That's why I don't have kids.
Not enough sexting.
Oh, that is just too good. Oh, Oedipus.
That's what I voted for.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's moments like that, you know. And unfortunately, too, we want to give a shout-out to Mark Thompson today, too. He's going through a rough day. If you guys have seen the posts up on Mark and Brian, the 25-year Facebook page, we all know that today, unfortunately, he had to put his dog Red down. It was just getting to the point where Red was getting a little bit too old and everything. So yesterday was Red's last day. Today they put him down. So Mark, our condolences to you. I think for most of us here, we all understand what it's like to have a dog who feels more like a member of the family, and have to put him down. So it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. So I mean, I had a dog for 14 years, and well, you've got a dog now that's
he's 14 and a half.
Yeah, and it's almost on its last leg, it seems.
You wouldn't know it though. This guy, he still doesn't. I mean, he's. He's so angry just as a dog in his life. He's even angry at the impending death that's coming his way that it scared death off. He's like not having it. So, yeah, he's still thinks he's a puppy. You know, all little dogs anyway think they're in a big dog body, and he's still rolling with that.
Yeah. And that's good because that shows how you treat them as a master, basically. You know, it's that love that you give, and they give that right back. You know, and that's kind of cool. Because, I mean, other people obviously
except
don't.
For that last part. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean,
we give him love.
We give him the love.
And then he's there.
He just absorbs
and he receives it.
Yeah, goes out the rear end.
But no, they do because like when my dog went, I didn't have to put him down. Fortunately, but he had cancer, and I came home one day. Well, that morning actually, he was fine. Fed him and everything. He's walking around, no problem, whatever. I come home from work, and he comes running up to me, but his hind legs are not working. And so I had to call my dear friend of mine who lived about 5 minutes away. I said, you know, Roman, I need your help. Can you come on down? And he goes, what's wrong? I said, something's gone wrong with the dog. The hind legs aren't working. He goes, okay. And he came down. We picked him up. And he's thinking he's going for a ride. He's like, where are we going? You know, come on, let's go. And, you know, I had to take him to the vet. And I think it was like the next morning that they were telling us, no, he's got cancer and it's going to take him within the next probably 5 to 6 hours. We don't even have to put him down. So it went that quick for him. So like I said, know what that's like. And it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, but the dog we had before this was stopped eating. She had a lot of tumors and just stopped eating. And then my wife was like, you know, after we put her down, did we do the right thing? It's like, you know, it just would have got worse. I mean, so Mark's doing the right thing.
Yeah, it's the quality of life for the animal itself. You know, so again, Mark, our condolences to you, buddy. So sorry, you know, but, you know, Red definitely had a good long life with you, Linda, and the kids. So we're glad that you guys had the experience with him. So, all right. Well, you know what? Let's catch up with each other.
Feel a little happy in here.
you know, we have a joint catching up this week.
We do.
A joint.
Three
of us.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting, Steve. Thank you.
Sorry, as the one who's not in the three, I probably should have said that. Tell me more, Steve, of this fascinating tale.
Well, you know what? Let's have Steve start off, because last night with Zach and everything, we had an awesome time.
That is very true. That is very true. Well, my week consisted of just having fun. And you do that when you're retired. You just have fun. And I didn't do anything special.
Except last night.
Now, last night, so that you know, we posted on Facebook and everything, but Jeff Swampy Marsh, he and Dan Pogemeyer.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of the program. We're on the show, created Phineas and Ferb, created Milo, Murphy's Law, Pete the Cat. Well, they had an event, because apparently some years ago, the two of them wrote a musical. And it was about the making of the musical Moby Dick. So this musical was entitled Dick! Exclamation point. The musical. Oh, my God. Well, I wondered when we read about, you know, the invite and everything, mm-hmm. that I said it wasn't probably appropriate for kids.
Well, and they said it on there too on the flyer
on the
that it wasn't
thing.
Definitely appropriate.
So it was true.
But there were kids there though.
There were kids there. They laughed, had a good time. It's all this innocent innuendo type stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. So what I took away from it is I really need to touch my own dick more. And okay, we'll go to you now.
You know what? We definitely had a great time with it. You know, and again, thank you to Swampy and Dan. They wrote this 2 years ago, from what Dan was telling us, and it was just a wonderful thing. It's the most people I think they've had there at this event. But of course, there were a lot of famous, well-known people reading, playing the parts and everything. So our friend, my friend in front of the program, and we're trying to get her on. She snuck out early last night.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Jill Whelan was there. She
boy, does she have a voice?
Oh God,
my goodness,
she can sing.
That's awesome.
She can sing. And then Diedrich Bader, mm-hmm. who everybody knows from the Drew Carey Show,
mm-hmm.
and also he played, was it Jed on Beverly Hillbillies, the movie?
Yeah. And then he was in Office Space.
So he was there. We finally got to meet Tracy Newman's sister, Lorraine.
Lorraine
was there. So she got.
Surprised Tracy wasn't there. I don't know what.
She was probably off playing or something. Who knows?
Probably.
Yeah. That would have been really funny, though, if Tracy was there. Mm-hmm. But we finally got to meet Lorraine, and she agreed to come on the show. And then there were some other actors there that I thought that looked familiar, but Zach knew them a little bit better than I did. And, Zach, there were some people there that you really recognized and enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I had my mic down. Someone was talking to me. Oh, yeah, quite a few, actually. I was pretty much the scoutmaster pointing everyone out to you two. I'm like, there's that person, there's that person, there's that person.
And they were?
Ross Markle. Paul, what's his last name? We were talking about it earlier.
Marquand.
Ross Marquand from Walking Dead. Plays Aaron in Walking Dead. He's great. He's still on the show. Let's see.
He's got a fake arm, though.
Yeah, it's a big metal prosthetic arm. Steven Root, who's in Office Space, Dodgeball. Most recently that I saw was Get Out. He was actually kind of one of the bad guys in it. Let's see. Phil Lamar from Mad TV, also a big voiceover actor. Does a lot of cartoons, a lot of video games. And let's see. I know I'm thinking of at least one more.
Oh, and then Caroline Rhea was there, too.
Oh, Caroline Ray.
Caroline Ray.
Yeah, for Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, was there.
And let's see. Am I missing one or two? Probably. Oh, I can't think of his darn name. He played Steve, who was that flamboyant innuendo gay guy that kind of was in denial about it. He was from the show Heroes on NBC, if you remember that forever ago. He was one of the main actors in that. Like I said, I'm kind of blanking on his name.
That's okay. Google the cast, and you'll pick one of the actors, and that's who was there.
Exactly.
Zachary Quinto?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that one.
Wow. There you go.
It was a star-studded evening.
Yeah, it really was. And then I can't remember her name, but the actress who played Mimi on the Drew Carey Show.
Oh, Kathy Kinney.
She was there also to watch it and everything. So
she's adorable. She's just
Adrian
really
Pastar is his name.
Thank you, Zach. Yeah, and she, I didn't realize how short she was, though.
She's a pretty short girl.
Yeah, so, but it was a great time. We had a wonderful time there. A really cool thing that happened, though, was that, now the week before, my son Roman got to perform at this band camp thing. It's this rock band camp. And
was this his one time at band camp?
Yes. And because he got to meet this wonderful girl, Georgia. And so apparently she had put...
She's been on his mind ever since.
Ever since. And yeah. I don't blame him. Anyway, so she... I guess I passed out a few flyers here and there regarding an event that's happening today.
Did you hear that, Paul? It sounded like you said she was passed out.
I said passing out some flyers.
Yeah, but it sounds like when you said she was passed out.
Clean your ears.
I need a shovel.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, so she is put together this event of different high school bands. You know, a bunch of high school kids that put their own band together. And her name, the name of her band, though, was called Love Handle. And ironically, it was spelled exactly the same way it's spelled from Phineas and Ferb. So, got introduced to her about the whole thing, and she goes, "Yeah, well, we're gonna be doing some Phineas and Ferb songs." And I said, "Oh," she goes, "Yeah. Matter of fact, we're trying to get the creators of the show to come down and see if they can, you know, watch us or join us, or whatever." I said, "How bad do you want to meet them?" And so they got to go last night to the event and got to meet Dan and Swampy, and so. Dan is definitely going to come down to their show tonight and perform with them as Doofenshmirtz.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, that was pretty cool from last week. So, they had a blast last night. So, that's Georgia and her friend Dakota. And they're very lovely girls. They really are. And but no, we had a great time last night. So, just a real, real good time. So,
what's that song from when George Burns was like... 18 again or something. He was, I wish I was 18 again.
That's a cute movie, too. I like that movie. Yeah. I like that movie. How about you, Paul? How was your week?
Well, I went home for some family nonsense, so we'll ignore that. But the 3 days before that, I was at Comic-Con in San Diego.
Ooh.
So that is the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, yes. It's bigger than Christmas.
That's right.
And I don't know why I'm giving this away to people because I don't want it to be any more crowded than it is, but Thursday is the day to go to Hall H. You've heard about the legendary Hall H at Comic-Con. It's where they do all their major panels and all the big names come out on stage. And they do it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But Saturday is when Marvel shows up and it's you can't get in. You got to do wristbands and stay overnight and bring sleeping bags and all that nonsense.
Good God.
I don't do that anymore.
Right.
So I went on Thursday and the first panel they had was Terminator Dark Fate.
That looks good.
Linda Hamilton gets reintroduced to an adoring fan base, you know, and then Arnold comes out and holds court. And Tim Miller was there, and he's hilarious. The guy directed Deadpool.
Wow.
I think he's going to bring a cool visual eye to the movie. And, of course, Cameron's back producing. He wasn't there, though. But, yeah, and the footage they showed looks great. You know, this is the first real sequel to Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Right.
So all the other ones have sort of been one-offs, but now Cameron's back, and he helped craft the story that now tells us Terminator Dark Fate.
Now, with this one, though, does it complete, let's say, a trilogy, so to speak, or...
Not sure.
Not sure, okay.
Be curious to know. But if I know studios, no, because let's have as many movies as we possibly have and soak these franchises to death. You know? So I wouldn't be shocked if they keep going.
Cool.
Introduce some characters they want to have down the line. And then after that, Conan O'Brien comes out.
Oh, no
And he's
kidding.
Like, wait, we're not stopping this until I bring you one of the biggest movie stars in the world. And I'm like, Arnold was just here. Tom Cruise, because that place goes bananas, right?
Wow.
And he dropped the Maverick trailer, the Top Gun sequel, which is now you've seen online.
Oh,
we were
yeah.
the first people to see it there on the big screen with the surround sound. It just looked amazing, you know.
We have a friend of ours who did the military advisory on that film.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Jared Chandler.
Cruise said there'll be no CGI, you know, and sure enough, there's plenty of shots of him in the cockpit flying the plane. You know, like he flew the helicopters in the last Mission Impossible, like he swung off the side of the Burj Khalifa and hung off the side of a plane. I mean, the guy,
he does it.
He's no joke. Yeah, so this looks like it's going to be pretty
did you guys see
huge.
the post on Facebook? Is it the only person that's not happy about the remake of Top Gun, and it's a picture of who was the actor played Goose that got killed?
Yeah,
and up
and he's doing
Anthony
the
Michael Hall.
Anthony Edwards. Yeah,
or Anthony Edwards.
Sorry.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
He's the only one that's not happy.
Yeah. I'll see it. Right. Yeah. And, of course, the rest of the con was great. If you've ever been, it's super crowded, but there's a bazillion things to do, so I think the people spread out rather nicely here and there. I mean, if you were like, there aren't any comics anymore, lie. There's so much for comics going on there.
Really?
And I went to a making of the Comic-Con panel with like the head of programming and a bunch of other people who make the thing happen, you know, and you hear interesting facts like we consume over 800 gallons of nacho cheese in 4 days, you know, that kind of stuff was
right.
Interesting, and how they work out permits to basically shut down downtown and work with all the businesses down there because, you know, pop-ups
right.
happen all the time. This time there was like a pop-up Star Trek Picard museum that you could see like the history of his character as we are on the verge of course a new series with Picard.
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
But yeah, it just the things they turned down too, like the people from Snakes on a Plane were like, "Hey, can we drop snakes from the ceiling of Hall H onto the crowd below when you turn the lights out and have give them a scare?" It's like there would be deaths. Like, no, we can't do that. You know, but the whole thing is the director of programming there said the con is kind of how you make it. If you love collectibles, you could go spend 4 days just looking at collectibles, talking to people God. About collectibles, going to panels about collectibles, buying and trading and whatever and selling collectibles. And that's the same for if you love TV. For me, I go there for the movies, comic books, video games, books, right
Good
on down.
Lord.
You know, so it's a huge and amazing thing.
I need
thing
to make more money.
If you can ever get there.
Did you happen to see her? She's a friend of mine. We worked together, Teresa Huang. She was on a panel at Comic-Con. Yeah,
I know her as well. Yeah, she's a writer
yes.
now. Wasn't back when I first met her.
No.
And I've been following all her wacky exploits online. She's writing.
Yeah,
all
we
time.
Worked together at Interventions in Disney years ago. So, yeah.
I hosted a panel on Saturday. I hosted a panel with stunt people.
Oh, cool.
This is
really?
One that Justin Bowler, who
Justin
normally hosts that every year. He couldn't do it this year, so I filled in for
Justin
him. And what a great
Bowler!
Panel.
That name sounds familiar.
Remember
yeah.
him?
Yeah. Just yeah. Oh, I know why. Suck it, Bowler.
E-boss.
There's this is a panel you need to go to also if you're going to the con every year because they're not plugging anything. These are just stunt performers telling great stories, being, you know, gregarious as hell. They all love it, each other. They love what they do, and they got stories for days.
Oh, God, I can imagine.
And just trying to squeeze it into an hour is difficult. Oh. And they hang out afterwards and talk to people, sign things, answer your questions. It's really one of the better panels out there, and it's tucked away over in the Marriott Marquee. It's kind of aligned with the Comic-Con Film Festival, which is a whole nother thing that goes on there. If you just
Lord.
Want to go watch original, you know, films in various categories, most of them having to do with like fantasy and that, the kind of thing you would see at Comic-Con. And there's panels in between all the screenings for how to make movies, how to market movies, and stunt performers. I mean, it's incredible.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool.
A massive endeavor.
Oh, my gosh. Well, last but not least, Zach.
Hi.
How was your week, buddy?
Great. I did something that I never thought I'd be able to pull off by the skin of my teeth. I got out of jury duty for the third time in my life.
Whoa.
A thing I didn't do was the biggest thing I have to report this week.
But no, what happened was I went and I was already dreading it. And I see the line of people getting their juror badges. I'm like, oh, God, there's got to be a way out of this. Recently, I've had a problem with my family. Grandma fell, broke her hip, got to take care of Grandpa and all that. So I'm like, this is going to be kind of hard because I can't leave him alone. So I go there and give my excuse, and the lady says, we'll postpone today. Just go online and give your excuse and select caregiving, and that's it. You should be fine. I went, okay, I don't really see that working. So I go on there, put my grandpa's name, my name, and a couple hours later, your excuse has been approved. I went, it can't be that easy, but apparently it was.
Wow.
I'm going to frame that email because that was just great. Because I really kind of thought I was screwed and I was going to be stuck on a jury for God knows how long. But this is my third time and never.
Right. Hi. And what you're saying?
Oh, I'm at the end of the story now.
Oh, okay.
We have a fair visitor who's checking us out there. Yeah.
That's fair.
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Jane.
Jane?
Yeah.
Oh. It's like Jane the Virgin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
We're doing wonderful.
Great. What station are you guys on? Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
So what do you guys talk about?
Well, this, that, and the other thing. And
what would you like to talk about?
Yeah.
How was your week? Let's put it that way, Jane.
We're talking about our week.
I was actually in Northern California for half of the week. So.
What'd you do up there?
I work for a company. We manage affordable apartment communities, and we had a grand opening up there in Gilroy.
Oh, wow.
So
I'm sorry. It sounded like you said you manage a porta potty company.
apartment.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Well, I still have my headphones on. It's hard to hear it.
I was in Gilroy, and I went to the world-famous garlic festival. Have you guys ever been to that?
Oh, no, I've heard of it. Yeah, we want to go there.
It was hotter than, I can't even tell you. It made me miss Southern California. But it was really cool, except I stunk of garlic when I left. But it was cool.
How do you get garlic off of you?
You know what it takes? It's just time and energy.
And you eat onions.
Yeah, a lot of onions.
A lot of onions.
So there's a lot of date getting up there during that thing, you know?
So you got laid.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's the garlic that made me do it.
I got to start eating more garlic.
It's an aphrodisiac.
Wait a minute. Nobody's kissing anybody at a garlic festival. How do you even make that move?
Hey, let us have our fantasies, okay?
It's the beer. They've got a wine thingy and beer like they do here. So, after a couple of drinks.
Hey, it doesn't matter.
You know, you guys said where we were located here, but you forgot to mention. You're like, we're by the Orange Slice and we got this. 48 craft brews right across the way. So that's how people will know where we are, because they'll be going to that.
And that's how we're getting laid today.
ForgetMatch.com. You just need a couple of beers and some beer goggles.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
Whoa. Well, I've got to run.
Thank you for stopping by,
Jane. It's meeting you guys.
It's great meeting you, Jane.
And just understand that, and this happened to me when I went to an Italian restaurant in Florida once.
What's happening?
There you go.
You will pee and sweat garlic. When was this festival? Like yesterday?
God.
Yeah, you're going to keep this going for a couple more days.
Yeah,
you can even fart garlic too. It's bad.
Exactly.
Oh, you're delicate.
Number 2. I'm a chick. Come on, we don't do those things.
And we love your T-shirt.
Not in front of people.
We got to say, love your T-shirt.
Thank you.
Counting crows.
I count them all the time.
Yay. Bye, guys.
All right, thanks, Jane.
Oh,
and that was our first fair guest.
There we go. Yeah, everybody else is going, huh?
She'd come over checking us out.
So it's exciting. It's exciting. Well, since Paul is here, what else but movie reviews?
Yes, movie reviews and movie previews and more with Paul Preston from TheMovieGuys.net. I don't know. I'm doing my own intro.
Keep going.
Plug it, baby.
What do you want to talk about first? What I've seen or what's coming up in the great month of August?
Well, so far, let's talk about what we've seen already. And I want to say, you and I briefly talked about the Spider-Man, Far From Home.
Yes.
That was a really good movie.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
That was just awesome. I finally got to see it.
I mean, are we going down a Marvel wormhole? Because you know there's a half hour of your show if I do. love the Marvel.
We got a lot of time.
Yeah.
We're good.
But no, that was really good. I was really impressed with that. I'm trying to think of the other one.
Yeah, because here's everybody saying at the end of Endgame, wow, they just dug themselves a hole. They got all this stuff to do. Then they see the trailer for Far From Home, which, of course, leaves out anything that has to do with the spoiler for Endgame. So it just kind of shows adventure stuff and Peter Parker's going to Europe, and won't that be fun? But, of course, then the second trailer comes out, and then the movie comes out, and they explain everything. They deal with the 5-year jump. They deal with, and they deal, of course, in a way that Spider-Man movie would, comedically, with teenagers doing a wacky video for their high school, explaining how people have grown up, and the younger brothers are now older brothers.
And the difference between the click and the blip.
It's just, they explained it all. And then once they do, they get to having fun. You know, once you do, you don't have to wrestle with it or get tangled up in plot. Explain it and get on with the movie. And of course, anytime you bring Jake Gyllenhaal into anything, your movie gets better.
He was really good in that too.
So great.
He was really, really good.
Yeah. And I was a slow burn on him, or a slow build on him. When he first came out, I wasn't so thrilled. I thought he was a little dull. Mm-hmm. But man, he came into his own pretty quick.
He did.
And I'm a big fan.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think most of the stuff that he's done, I think probably in the last 7-8 years or so, it seems like he's just been this slow build and build and build and build. And
well, he's been around longer than people think, because I would even go back like 14 years. Like, it was right around Brokeback Mountain and Jarhead.
Mm-hmm.
But the early films, I don't know, he seemed
Donnie
like
Darko's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's one of the standouts from his younger days. But I think like things like Proof, I think, was one. And what's the one with Jennifer Aniston, the Good Girl or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
I never found him all that exciting, but whew, now he's between Nightcrawler and all these other movies.
I think
awesome.
He's choosing things, the roles, a little bit wiser now to not just go out and make the money, but to put on a good performance as an actor.
That reminds me of Russell Crowe's heyday, too.
Yes.
He did the same thing. He picked great projects, and lo and behold, they also made money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. exactly. Well, yeah, there are a couple of things here. I definitely wanted to talk about yesterday.
Yeah.
How is that? Because I've been wanting to see that.
Oh, you
one
still
too.
Didn't get out to see it?
I didn't get a chance to.
We I thought you knew to... what we did yesterday already.
You went to a voiceover gathering.
Remember?
They did a dick
Swampy
musical.
I'm going
to
hurt both of you.
All right, yesterday is this fantastic coming together of the great kinetic director Danny Boyle and the great comedy writer Richard Curtis from Blackadder. And, of course, he wrote and directed Love Actually and wrote adapted Bridget Jones' Diary and wrote Notting Hill and et cetera, right on down.
Whoa.
And he there's a genre now out there of people get hit in the head. I may have talked this in the preview of yesterday, but now that I've seen it, I'll jump quickly to it. But, yeah, there's a genre of people get hit in the head and the world changes.
Right.
What men want, or now I suddenly see whatever. Mm-hmm. This is, he wakes up and there's no Beatles. So he begins to sort of sing the Beatles songs, and he realizes, wow, I could pretend I'm writing them and then they become famous. And he does. And that's your movie. And so, but there's a scene towards the end, I can't give away a spoiler, though, that is the crux of the whole film. It kind of lays down why this whole thing even happened.
Got it, okay.
And it is, I mean, Karen and I were kind of a mess, my wife and I. Oh. It was very emotional. It was great. If you love the Beatles, you know, there's no shortage of their music, too.
Right.
And for some reason, I thought they sang it a little better than a lot of the people in Rocket Man did. And I like Rocket Man, but maybe who they assigned some of the songs to didn't work for me. But the lead guy, Himesh Patel, I think his name is, and the other actors who sing the Beatles in this, it's mostly him, though, were great, great, good covers, and you know the songs are legendary.
Right.
Yeah, well, Danny Boyle doesn't make a bad film.
Nice, very cool, very cool. Yeah, because I still gotta get out and see that.
But I know you wanted me to talk about Batman Hush because I did see that.
Yes,
at the kind. This is something I didn't even know about. But it seems like every year now they debut a new Warner Brothers animated DC movie at Comic Con. I've seen Flashpoint Paradox there. Oh, I saw Batman versus Robin, and I saw The Killing Joke over. Couple of years have gone there, and so
all good films.
It's worth doing because, yeah, that's clearly where DC is really excelling.
Mm-hmm.
Their live action stuff, I couldn't be bothered with. I think they've kind of failed to make a DCEU. They're doing it, but I don't think it has the draw or the
potential
emotional impact or anything else that the MCU does. They should just kind of do their own thing and let the maybe extended universe go. But chances are it's not going to happen. But where they're killing it is animated, and this Batman Hush, which I guess the source material is well revered. I don't know. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, basically what the whole thing is about for the comic readers is that there's this new enemy in Gotham City by the name of Hush, and he's trying to seek revenge basically on the Batman because he knows who he is. And it turns out to be, I'm not going to, I mean, if you've read the comic, you already know the story. So
it's a bit of a reveal at the end, but in the, before you get there, it's a rogues gallery of every character you could imagine. I had no idea.
Yeah, because Hush brings in everybody that's really attached to the Batman himself and everything, and brings almost everybody in that you can think of. I mean,
and Hush is trying to pit them all against Batman.
Yeah, and in how well overall was the story? I mean, or did you know anything about the story prior, though?
So as far as I'm concerned, it was great. You know, a lot of times when people have trouble with adapting anything, it's usually, oh, this was so much better before. Of course it is.
Yeah.
If you, again, I may have said this here before, but if you try and read you know, the Da Vinci Code in 2 hours, it's going to suck. Mm-hmm. You need whatever, however long it takes you to read a 450-page novel.
Right.
So the 2-hour version, not great. But the book's amazing. So I'm sure the Hush was great. I don't know any better or any different, so as far as I'm concerned, they adapted it great as well.
That's nice. And from my understanding, too, I think...
Lots of humor, too, and Nightwing's very funny.
Who played Nightwing? Do you know? Or
is the voice? I don't remember. Wait, no, I don't remember. They brought out all the people, but I didn't recognize them. You know, Tara Strong is not back. It's not Kevin Conroy. It's new actors doing...
Yeah, there's a couple of different universes, basically. So you have all the stuff with...
Nightwing was Sean Mayer.
Oh, it was Sean Marr. Okay, from Firefly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And basically, there's just two different kind of universes to a degree, and that's mainly because of the animation look. So you have that of what looks very similar to Batman the Animated Series or from Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. So you have that type of animation where you are going to get the Kevin Conroy and the Mark Hamill and so forth. This one's, the animation's a little bit different. It's a little bit more realistic kind of a thing. So with that, they have different actors playing, but it's the same reoccurring actors in the same roles But then when they bring in a newer character, then they, you know, obviously then audition people for that. But the Batman is the same throughout the whole series because it started off, I think, with, I think maybe Batman and Son, I think is where the whole thing really started off with. And then it just kind of goes from there. And there's been in-between movies also with it because this time they bring Damian Wayne into...
Yeah, like I was pretty impressed how Damian shows up in this too, and they juggle all these characters so well. And then you watch something like Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, and you're like, they only have like five characters here and they're failing miserably. But the animated, they did a great job. Yeah. It's a drinking game. Every time a new villain shows up, you know, to pound a shot, you'll be hammered by the time the movie's over.
Exactly. You know, and I think they need to get people like Bruce Timm and Paul Dini to write any of the live action stuff because it's well written. They do a hell of a job basically doing the storyline for the animated. If they can just say, hey, let's flip you guys over to this, then they would have a good live action movie, you know. But Warner Brothers isn't doing that. They're too stupid enough. I think that they're more concerned about, of course, the almighty dollar versus putting out a really good film.
Yeah, I mean, high hopes for, you know, Wonder Woman 1984. They didn't. I mean, Warner skipped the con this year, so we didn't see anything on that. But here's hoping it's good.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Exactly. Let's see. What other things? Well, we'll talk about some of the stuff that is coming up. So we got Angry Birds 2.
Angry Birds 2. Yeah. I didn't see the first one.
Okay.
So I just know that Nicki Minaj does a voice here, which I think we can all agree at this table. Not her most interesting asset.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, she'll be there. Josh Gad does a voice as well, so we continue to... I think he thinks we don't want to see him between the dog movie and Frozen and stuff. It's like, Josh, we like you. You can step in front of the camera.
And he's been kind of trolling the internet, saying that he might be like the next Penguin in Matt Reeves' Batman.
I would welcome that.
Yeah, there's been like, you know, artist renditions of him, Photoshop ones and all, and he's like Twitter kind of like jokingly teased that he's been... talked to by Warner Brothers for it, so I think that'd be an interesting choice.
I went to a Q&A for the movie Marshall, where Chadwick Boseman played Thurgood Marshall, and he's in that, and that guy was hilarious. Josh Gad just generally answering the questions, being charming, and man, he's super funny.
Yeah.
I mean, you know he's great just from Book of Mormon and the other things, Daily Show and stuff that he's done, but so more voiceover from him, which is great, but... You know, step in front of the camera, Josh. We love you.
Yeah.
So that'd be great. I'd love to see him as Penguin.
One thing I'm trying to anticipate, too, and I'm kind of hoping it's good, and it's breaking off from the franchise a little bit, but I kind of cracked up the way they put this out there, where it's the Fast and the Furious present.
I know. They're like Tyler Perry now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what the hell's going on? But it's Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep. National Lampoon's presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, exactly. And how do you think that film's going to do?
Well, I think they've gotten downright goofy now. And I watched the trailer for this, and it looks like, we're just going to revel in our goofiness. You know, that's not exactly where this franchise started.
Right.
You know, they were doing like a Point Break in street racing when they started. And it was, I think, a remake as well of an older movie. And by now, it's just over the top, wacky one-liners. And I've said wacky a lot. Maybe that's what Hollywood is these days. They're just in a wacky zone. But there'll be one-liners and... They're going to kill people glibly like they used to do back in the day, you know, like when Arnold and Sly would just rack up body counts. But for me, if you've ever watched the Fast and Furious movies, at the end of Fast and Furious 6 is when we first were introduced to Deckard Shaw, played by Jason Statham.
Right.
So now he and The Rock's Luke Hobbs are going on these big action adventures. But at the end of Fast and Furious 6 is when Deckard Shaw killed Han Liu. Now, Han Liu is from Tokyo Drift, and he showed up in 4, and he showed up in 5, and he's part of the team. He showed up in 6, and then they killed him. So now we're having fun with this Deckard Shaw guy, but he killed one of the team members. I don't know. I'm still... Too soon would be my hashtag.
Got it.
For Hobbs and Shaw, that we're having fun
What about also now they got the sequel coming out for Jumanji? You know, and again, we got The Rock in that one, too.
Well, there's no shortage of things to goof on when it comes to video games and avatars and all that stuff. So there's more jokes to be had. So I welcome that. That one was pretty fun.
Yeah.
The thing about The Rock is, if you saw Fighting with My Family, which you should, I like Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
I love The Rock. You know, so anytime he gets to be The Rock is great. So now he's just kind of a comedian and an action star, and you know, Jumanji looks fun. Yeah. The last one was fun.
And that's what it, I think it's one of those movies that it just you're allowed to escape, and you got to buy into it and buy into the whole fantasy thing.
Yeah.
And yes, it's an electronic version of the original board game that we saw with the great Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. You know, and but yeah, there's a little bit more comedy, you know, in this one here and everything. And yeah, I mean, I think every time a movie comes out with Dwayne Johnson, I mean, I've got to see it now because he is so good at the action and comedy action movies. It doesn't seem like it's never a boring film, no matter what.
Yeah, it's definitely weird, entertaining. It's a world now. For me, summer movies back in the day were, okay, summer movies are coming up. So what Julia Roberts movie are we going to get? What Tom Cruise movie are we going to see? There's going to be one from Harrison Ford. Mel Gibson's got something coming out. Arnold's going to have something. It's like, you know, these stars would just release their movies. He's one of the biggest stars we have now, but I still don't feel like, what big tentpole Dwayne Johnson movie's coming out? It seems like just stuff kind of comes out that he's in, but I still don't feel like he's the big tentpole draw. He's in Jumanji with the ensemble. Like, and it's only, I think, because of timing. If he came out in the 80s, he would be Arnold, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Or Stallone,
yeah, absolutely.
Who's a little bit shorter.
Yeah, yeah. The Rock is a big dude, ain't no joke.
He is. Yeah. He is. So, well, cool, man. Well, that's great. I mean, let's see, was there anything else that we got to...
I saw Midsommar, the horror movie by Ari Aster, who made Hereditary.
Okay.
It's just weird for weird's sake. People love it. If you like artistic horror, he does that. But, I don't know, it didn't quite land with me. I think it just got weird for the sake of being weird.
And we'll end it with this one here. I didn't realize, and I think it kind of shows how old I am, but there's now the 30th anniversary of Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, I went to see that.
Holy
what a great movie.
Crap.
I know, right? Well, hey, Lion King's 25. When we sit here talking about should they remake Lion King, well, 25 years is 25 years. I mean, when we were in the 80s and they remade stuff from, you know, and 1960.
And it yet like, it seems too close to us.
It does, yeah.
You know,
because
like,
you're you. Yeah. Everyone else doesn't care. Yeah,
it's like, wow.
15-year-old doesn't care.
Yeah, and I mean, but when you see the, you know, something like Do the Right Thing, you're going, well, wasn't that like, what, maybe 15 years ago? Or, no, it was double it.
30
It's
30
years ago.
Years ago,
yeah. You know?
And like, Spike finally got his Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just waiting for the remake of Clockwork Orange.
Oh, please, no. No, not unnecessary. But certainly no one would say it's been too soon.
No, we're getting a sequel. True. We're getting a sequel to The Shining. Didn't think I'd see that happen.
Really?
Yeah, but
Dr. Sleep
sequel? That's all Stephen King endorsed and written. He wrote the book. So
that's true.
Wow. That I'll accept with that, you know, endorsement. And with that creative mind behind it. But Do the Right Thing is amazing. It played for about a week, and it's big anniversary run in theaters. So, but of course, it's been on Blu-ray forever. Go see that movie. It is a landmark.
It is.
And
it
talk is. About one you wouldn't expect to be so funny. That movie's hilarious. And then, of course, it hits you with the hind at the end.
It gives you a backhand.
Right.
For sure.
Totally. That's
backhand
what it is.
For sure.
Pull the rug out. You guys having fun? Well, here's what's really going on in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
On the hottest day of the year. So.
So go out, check out those movies, go rent them, go do whatever you need to do, you know. And once again, Paul, they can find you at themovieguys.net. So, and then real
Goodbye,
quick.
Goodbye, everybody!
Yeah, exactly.
Fade out.
I'm going to go get a fried Twinkie.
But and real quick, your wife, Karen, is also doing some comedy stuff?
Yes, if you're local to L.A., the Karen Volpe Comedy and Music Hour is happening next at the Acme NoHo Space in North Hollywood. That is at August 9th at 8 p.m.
And these things are selling out, so definitely make sure you guys go out. I think last time you said 200 people showed up.
2,000 people showed up.
Oh, 2,000.
Yes,
I'm 2,000. Sorry. I moved the zero over. Sorry about that.
No, she brings together tons of great comics and fills it up. She hosts the whole night with music. Like someone will come up and do stand-up, then Karen will make him sing a song with her, and that'll be weird and fun, too. So it's a whole unique night of comedy.
And you go out having a good time, you know, no matter what, basically.
Yeah.
So go out there, check it out.
And it's like $6.
Oh, God, so that's cheap.
Go. Right? If you buy in advance, it's $6.
Wow. Nice. Nice.
And HarrenVolpe.com for all that. And, of course, themovieguys.net for all my nonsense.
Exactly. Check it all out. So
and it is Volpe, not Volpe.
Wolfie.
You know what? She'll take either because a lot of the old Italians, Volpe, you know, they can't get two syllables into a word. They're too old.
I think probably what it is when they get the Volpe is like, Volpe.
Yeah, then it deflates.
Yeah, it deflates, yeah. Come on. All righty. Well, you know what? I know Zach enjoys these all the time, though. Today is actually National New Jersey Day.
Why is that, Sean?
And I don't know, because it's on the damn calendar.
We're in California at the Orange County Fair, and it's National New Jersey Day.
And it's also National Cowboy Day also as well. So we... a
little sherry for you, Jersey Boys.
Oh, well, see, I had a song.
You're right. That's garbage.
Because it covers both at the same time. Want to play that one?
Yeah.
Hey, we're hitting a bump here.
Come
What's
on
going
down
on?
To the fair. We're having a good old time.
You can fill in spaces like this.
Yeah.
See, because speak up.
See, I picked a Bon Jovi song because they're from New Jersey. And the song is called I Put the Boy Back to Cowboy. So, they say,
that is better.
Yeah. So, Steve actually has some facts there about New Jersey.
I do. Look at that. There's a whole page.
And I've got some facts about cowboys. So, we'll pick five each, basically.
I've got. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you got a couple of pages. So, just pick five.
Five. Well, this is interesting. New Jersey State Seashell. I didn't know states had a state seashell.
Well, you got the Jersey Shore.
Well, it's called the Knobbed Whelk.
Say that three times real quick.
It's not the syringe.
It's a busy kind of carica. This large predatory sea snail is probably better known for its meat, which is served in New Jersey restaurants as the Italian dish called scongili
or volpe.
Dish, all right.
Well, here you go. So many cowboys have been in Civil War soldiers from both the North and South, and many others. Perhaps up to a quarter of all cowboys were freed ex-slaves. Some cowboys were immigrants from Europe, and others were Mexicanos and American Indians.
I want to be a cowboy. Okay, here's something really odd. Apparently, in Beamerville in Sussex... You don't want to say that wrong. County. about 440 million years ago, it was a volcano.
No shit.
Yeah. No, the lava.
Ah.
Boy, that'd be hard. A volcano that spews feces.
Ooh, not good. Yeah. Well,
give it to the end of the day here.
Yeah. 8 to 12 cowboys could move 3,000 heads of cattle along the cattle drives. They might travel 15 miles in a day. Any more than that, the cattle would lose too much weight and arrive too thin. So there was also trail bosses and camp cooks along each drive.
Now, according to the state of New Jersey's official site, the state boasts more horses per square mile than any other state.
Ooh,
and of course, it also boasts more people because New Jersey...
Yeah.
You got it. Toy boat. New Jersey is more densely populated than China and almost as crowded as India.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people in New Jersey.
It's a Jersey thing.
Yeah. Well, not a southpaw. Here's an interesting fact. An early photograph of Billy the Kid shows him with his gun belt on his left side, leading people to believe that he was left-handed. What people didn't realize is that famous photograph was a mirror image due to the type of camera, which meant that his gun belt was actually on his right side, and he was definitely not a lefty. Also note that the wood model of the Winchester rifle that he carried only loaded on the right, and it would make, therefore, would have been impossible for him to carry it on the left side.
Wow. Okay, the state fish of New Jersey is the brook trout. And the brook trout is just like a fishy canary in a coal mine.
Canary in a coal mine.
Coal mine.
So, anyway, because the brook trout can't survive in polluted water, spotting one is a sign that the water is clean.
So, if it's swimming, it's okay. If it's floating...
If it's floating...
then
it's not okay.
It's not okay. Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water.
Got it. All right. Okay. Let's see what here. Oh, here's a cool one. Wild camels. This is really interesting. In 1855, the government used funds to buy and ship camels from Egypt. They thought that they would do better in the heat than horses would, making missions easier. When the Civil War broke out a couple of years later, many camels escaped and bred, leaving hundreds of feral camels in the wilds of Texas.
Okay, this one is sort of a trivia-type quiz.
All right.
Something happened in New Jersey in 1937, and the clue is, oh, the humanity.
Ah, yes. The Hindenburg.
The Hindenburg crashed in 1937, and it left a vivid and shocking impression on the American people. While trying to land at Lakehurst, New Jersey, the airship caught fire and went down in a raging ball of flame.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, this is something really interesting here. This is actually a natural phenomenon. St. Elmo's fire, or foxfire, is a phosphorescent light which was often seen on the tips of cattle's horns and occasionally on a horse's ears. It usually occurred on stormy nights or when they were when there was electricity in the air. Ooh. When the storm is fully charged, leaves, blades of grass, and the horns of cattle glow on their tips.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tips. Right.
Tips.
Okay.
Yeah.
P. Tips. Yeah.
Not their udders.
Got it. Got
they're,
it.
They're not tips. Their,
yeah.
Not the udders.
Not teats.
Right.
Hey, there's one more. It's the last one I want to read.
Sure.
What's a list of New Jersey information that doesn't include a fact about the boss? That's right. East Street, as in the East Street Band, is a real place in Belmar, New Jersey, and the band used to rehearse there.
Get
in
out.
A house owned by the keyboard player's mother.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. How about that?
There you go. And of course, all the Bruce Springsteen fans are going, no shit, Sherlock.
Well, we knew that.
Keep digging, Watson.
We did get out of that list, though, without Sopranos reference.
Oh
actually, I think there was in there.
Oh, there was? Did I miss it?
No, we just didn't read it.
Funny people.
Well, you've got five
Statue
facts.
Statue of Liberty. It doesn't have a state song.
You have like 30 facts. I see you're picking five.
Aaron Burr and Alexander.
Pick five is what it was.
It's New York to big. So I think we don't have anything about James
New
Garfield
Jersey.
Got assassinated. Georges Méliès.
See, cowboys are mean. Cowboys carry guns.
Don't see it.
Let's see. There's a lot of Westerns out there. What? Yeah.
I didn't know.
What's your favorite cowboy
gun was
movie,
loaded.
My favorite cowboy movie?
Yeah. Like, what's your go-to that you go, if it's on cable or it's on TV, you got to stop and watch it.
Silverado is a product of timing with me. It came out, in the 80s when I was a kid, and that movie's so stacked with talent, it's stupid. Lawrence Kasdan, coming off of writing Empire Strikes Back, Raiders of the Lost Ark, loads that movie up with Kevin Klein, Kevin Costner, Scott Glenn, Danny Glover, Jeff Goldblum, Brian Dennehy, Linda Hunt, Rosanna Arquette.
It's a who's who.
And right on, John Cleese shows up, but it's amazing, the cast in that. I love that. Of course, if you go classic, The Searchers with John Wayne, which is one of the more complicated movies of John Wayne's, which can otherwise be kind of black and white, good guy, bad guy. That's a really complicated one, and I saw it recently in the theaters here, which is why I live in L.A., where you can do that kind of thing.
Mm.
And then for more modern, Open Range with Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall is a great movie that I would say it's underrated, but a lot of people know and love it, but there's still work to be done about people knowing about that movie and how good it is, especially the final third.
How about they hauling around a bunch of prostitutes or something like that? Is that what are they? They're hauling around some women that are.
Wow.
You guys ever watch that show Yellowstone that Kevin Costner's on?
No, I really want to. I'll tell you what.
I've heard great things about that one.
Yeah, now they're into season two, but I mean, it's on the Paramount Network, which is, I guess, what the Spike used to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Spike.
So, but I want to go find it somewhere because I love Costner, especially when he's paired with a Western. And it's created, written, and directed by the guy who made Hell or High Water, which is a modern-day Western that is just lights out awesome. And he also wrote Sicario, and he wrote directed Wind River, which is a great underrated film. It was my number one from a couple of years ago. So Taylor Sheridan, an actor who went on to write, really killed it with those features. So I want to see a TV show that he made. Yellowstone is on my list. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah. I need to see it myself.
What's your go-to, Steve, for like a cowboy movie?
There's two of them, an old one and a newer one. The old one is High Noon, Gary Cooper. I just love that. It's a real-time drama and stuff. I really like that. And then probably my ultimate one is The Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
There's something about that movie. It's just, it seems so real. And then when he does the gun stuff, it's like, oh, my God. Yeah, those are mine.
I think for me, one's a comedy. And then one I think is a modern classic.
Come on now.
Let's see. Let's see if we can guess what his comedy.
Go for it. Go ahead.
It's Blazing Saddles.
Absolutely.
That is no doubt.
No doubt.
Hands down.
Top three funniest movies ever made. It's in the top three, and I can't rank them. They're just three that are up there.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to do 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
The Saddles is one of them.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to go back to town and get a shitload of dimes.
And then the second one, that when it's on TV, I have to sit down and watch it, is Tombstone. Gotta watch it.
That was going
to
be my pick.
Gotta watch
Gino
it.
Gino liked that one.
It is just so good, and it almost broke Kurt Russell. You know?
Really?
Yeah. That movie was so hard for them to make because the original writer-director was fired from that. They had to bring somebody else. The reality of it is that Kurt Russell took over direction but gave credit to the other guy. And so basically, you know, it's a, you know, movie directed by Kurt Russell, and you know, it's just a damn good movie. And anytime it's on, I gotta sit down and watch it.
And what's interesting about that is that came out the same time as another Wider movie called Wider.
They were filming at the same time, and the thing is that because I actually got to do an audience with Kevin Costner around that time they were both filming, and Kevin was telling us that he had to wait until the shooting schedule was over for them for Tombstone because they were using the same locations, same companies to get all the costumes and all the props and everything, you know, the carriages and stuff, whatever. And they had to wait like three to four weeks until they were done with Tombstone so they could go in and do their stuff.
And I thought that one was going to be so much better because it's Lawrence Kasdan who made Silverado, the guy I just praised earlier. But I found it so much weaker, and I thought I was shocked at Tombstone with the director problem, and the guy who came in was George P. Cosmatos, who directed Rambo. So I'm like not expecting much from Tombstone, and it absolutely, I mean, both movies stacked with cast.
Yeah.
You know, Tombstone too. And but Tombstone's great.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome movie. So that's mine there. So, well, you know, earlier we were telling you guys about this, which is, you know, I've got a teenager, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, there's times where I try to keep him on the straight and narrow. And overall, I got to say, I got a great kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very proud of him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah. And no, it is, yeah, because I'm always yelling at him half the time. But, no, I honestly, I have a great kid. But we've got the top 10 signs that your Amish teenager is in trouble. So I'll start here with number 10, and Steve and I will kind of go back and forth there. So, again, top 10 signs your Amish teen is in trouble. Number 10.
There's no music for this?
Wow, that was way early.
What was that?
That was me tripping over myself.
Yeah, no kidding. Number 10 here. Sometimes stays in bed until after 5 a.m.
Oh, man, that's late. Yeah, well, in his sock drawer, you find pictures of women without bonnets.
Paul's enjoying this, I can tell right now, though.
What is that, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or something?
Yeah. Number 8, shows up at a barn raisings in full kiss makeup.
When you criticize him, he yells, "Thou sucketh."
Well, you do.
Yeah, that sucketh.
Yeah. Number 6, his name is Jebediah, but he goes by Jeb Daddy.
Why are we doing this to the Amish? This is really funny.
Because they'll never know.
They'll never know.
They don't have a radio.
There you go. That's the funniest thing we've said all day. Okay.
Doesn't get better than this, folks. Right here, live at the Orange County Fair.
Your
number five.
Amish teenager says, if I had a radio, I'd listen to rap. That was a train wreck right there.
Play that one again.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Oh,
that's the way this whole show feels right now.
Our show just did that.
Oh, boy. Number four. You come upon his secret stash of colored socks.
Oh, no. Whoa, yeah.
That's him finding the colored socks.
Now, number three, he uses the slang expression.
Go ahead, say it.
Talk to the hand, because the beard ain't listening.
Number two was recently pulled over for driving under the influence of cottage cheese.
Oh, that is a big problem.
Wow. Change it a little bit. That actually was a good one for that one. I like that.
And number one, I'm going to add a little list to this. He's wearing his big black hat backwards, and his pants so low you can see the convenience panel in his long johns.
Ta-da.
The pants down like they do, and you can see. And yeah.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Paul, what was that funny thing you said a minute ago?
Letterman did a top 10 pickup lines for the Amish once, and I always remember two of them. One of them was, wow, you do wonders for that shapeless dress and bonnet. And the other one was, art thou up for some plowing?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. I just recently saw the movie Witness with Kelly McGillis and Harrison Ford. And I really love that movie. It's done so well. That little kid, he was cool. I like him.
Yeah.
He was really good.
The great Lucas Haas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A great performance.
Yeah. I got to enjoy or show Roman, my son Roman, the other day, Air Force One.
Oh,
that we could have a president like Harrison Ford.
Get off my plane.
Harrison? Harrison?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Oh.
Maybe we could get on. He's old enough now where he's like, you know, we could get him on the show and probably jump at the chance.
Well, let me ask you this then, Paul. Have you heard anything yet about the Indiana Jones 5?
In production.
Still in production.
No shooting that I know of yet, but okay. But yeah.
Because it was supposed to be out this year, apparently. But
I know. I've read the various reports of it being pushed. You know, they got to make up for Crystal Skull. You know, and so that's why I'm hoping for good things.
And Spielberg's filming the remake for West Side Story right
now. Yeah, true.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're filming it right now.
I think he's always wanted to do a musical. I wish he'd do an original one, but we get what we get.
Like Dick! Exclamation
point.
There
you go. Right. Film that. That's just out there waiting for someone to make a movie.
Actually, when we were talking to Swampy and Dan, I was telling Swampy, you know, if they're going to do anything with the musical, he goes, well, we actually might try shopping around. I'm like, dude, if you can get Mel Brooks to produce it, he goes, oh. I'm like, you never know.
Yeah. Indiana Jones 5, The Search for Pablum. There they are. That took a while.
Oh, yes it did. Yes it did. Boy, that, yeah.
Yeah, we're nothing if we're not funny.
Pablum-y.
We're nothing right now, pretty much, basically. So, I can't believe how crowded it is right now. There's so many people. I would say there's probably about,
12,000?
Yeah, about 12,000 people just standing around right now here.
Crowded around.
Or at least two.
Yeah.
At the fair.
I think we're on the verge of live band karaoke.
No, they're actually going to do it later on tonight, but they go on, I guess, pretty soon.
People, they're just going to play music
until
the karaoke tonight.
Yeah, they don't start the karaoke until later on tonight, which I want to try and do.
I don't know if I would trust a
live band?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't trust anybody to go up there and entertain. I mean, you're trying to sell beer. What if somebody's no, everyone leaves.
That's right.
Well, they throw a hello.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yes.
That was entertaining.
Some of the sights at the fair are absolutely amazing. Oh my.
And they're just bouncing along.
I wish I could describe this scene right now.
I like to knock those things around like Sugar Ray Leonard.
Kind of like Bo Derek in 10 running on the beach, she's going to bruise her chin if she's not careful.
Giggity, giggity, giggity. Yeah. Yeah, so...
Not that we're looking at anything. We're concentrating on this podcast right now, and we're not watching these lovely ladies walk by.
Or run by, for that matter.
Run by, as they do.
Yes.
yes, they do. So what were we talking about?
I think it might be time to do the game, actually.
Hey-o.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so we got the three of us here.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the game show that's sweeping the nation and the county fairs, Quiz Me, Quiz You.
All righty. So, Paul, you played this before when you and Karen came in. So,
I have. I like it.
So, name is your buzzer, of course. If you want to go precog, just yell out your name a little bit louder.
Okay. I was able to gather some Orange County Fair-like questions.
Oh. So
Orange County Fair-esque?
Esque.
You want to play? No? Okay. My son comes up behind me and goes, yeah, let's go. Okay, you want to play? No, I don't want to be on the air.
Well, thank your son because he actually helped me compile these. So,
cool.
So, he could have pulled off a coup right there.
Yeah, he could have won. We got prizes.
An orange has an average of how many segments inside?
I almost shouted the answer.
I had a mouthful of water. I couldn't say it. My name is. I know that.
Yeah, because you read it earlier. Go ahead.
Zach, I would say that the orange has an average of 10 segments.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but that is right.
Yay!
I forgot how we played for a second. I shouted 10.
Well,
not my name.
And if the two, if Paul would just look straight ahead.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah,
that's why I shouted it.
Yeah.
But I didn't shout my name.
You forgot your name. Yeah.
And now question number two.
Something about beer?
This should be easy. After chocolate and vanilla, what is the third world's favorite color? Someone's calling Sean.
Color?
I mean flavor. Sorry.
Flavor?
Phone ring.
Paul.
Paul. Yeah.
Strawberry?
No.
Steve. Steve.
Coffee.
Zach, because my phone rang, can you please read me the question again?
I sure can.
Thank you.
After chocolate and vanilla, what's the third world's favorite flavor?
Wait, the third world's favorite?
The world's third favorite flavor.
You might try that.
They
third
don't
time?
Eat much ice cream in the third world.
If you like chocolate and vanilla, what comes after? What's the third favorite?
I'm going to say orange.
That is correct.
What?
Oh, I see where this is going.
You do, don't you? You do.
Face plant.
Welcome to the Orange County Fair.
I could have had an orange.
Yeah, who thought? Question number three. All right.
Wait, I'm sorry. Real quick.
Yeah.
Steve? Yes. Sit up a little bit more straight and see if you can see that gentleman straight over here.
Yes.
Gino?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. All right.
Almost lost my paper. Ancient Romans used this fruit to help treat...
Sean. Orange.
You got bamboozled.
Steve?
Guava.
I'm holding out for the entire question.
Smart man.
Maybe I'm stupid.
Ancient Romans used this fruit to help treat fever, depression, and sore throats.
Wait, that's not a fruit. Okay.
Paul.
Paul.
Lemon?
No.
God.
Paul, you actually said it earlier.
I did?
Yeah.
10?
Bing.
Does everybody give up?
No, don't give up, Paul.
Wait, Paul.
Paul.
Tangerine. I never said that.
No, you didn't.
Sean. Guava.
That was said.
But no, it's not the right
but
one.
But no.
All right.
Steve.
Oh, Paul.
my answer was Betty. So.
Paul.
Hold on, let me think about that. No. Paul.
Strawberry.
That is right.
Dang.
Said that earlier.
And now for the highly anticipated question number four. What is a group of turkeys called?
Steve. A gobble.
You think, but no.
Sean. A gang?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That is correct.
So I would have guessed an orange, just because of where we're going with these.
Yeah,
because
you can kind of see where I got all these. Question number five. A rose's thorns are technically called what?
Sean. Shit, that hurts.
It does, though.
Okay.
But no.
Steve. Nubs.
And they bounce along.
Paul. I have no idea. So let me guess. Seeds.
No, sorry. The answer is
wrinkles. Wait, Steve.
Sorry, we ran out of time.
Dang it. I was going to say
that more often.
Wait, cool. What is it?
Prickles.
Prickles.
Really?
Really?
Prickles? Yeah.
Wow.
It says it on these things over here.
Okay.
Question number 6. That's how you know it's true.
All right. What is Orange County's number one vegetable crop?
Sean.
Avocado? I thought so too, but no.
Steve. Broccoli.
Hell no.
Paul. Tomato?
Getting closer.
Sean. Orange.
Colder.
Oh. You said vegetable, right?
Yeah.
The last two answers vegetable. Were fruit, so.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, but if you want to consider tomato a vegetable, just kind of go towards that route.
Vegetable, something red.
Never Betty. Said it was red. No, that's not it.
All right, what is it?
Cucumbers.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Question number 7.
I was a little distracted during that question.
Yeah, you were.
Okay, I'm going to say this carefully because it's a little complicated. What number does California rank as the largest food producer in the world? What number does California rank?
Sean. Number 2?
No. Steve. Number 1.
No.
Oh, Paul.
Paul.
Number 3.
No? Sean. So far, everyone's close.
Sean. 5?
Yes! Oh, God. Question number 8.
We're only to 8? Oh, my goodness.
Hey, there goes that girl again.
Run again! Come on!
All right, there we go. What bird lays eggs every 24 to 26 hours?
Steve.
Chicken. I almost want to look at judges, but there are no judges. That's incredibly close. I needed a different answer or a name.
Oh.
Sean.
Hen?
That is the correct answer.
What the hell?
It wasn't the answer he was looking for.
Yeah, I got the answer you're looking for right here.
You don't see Alex Trebek giving out free handouts. Question number 9. That's not question number 9. This is. Sorry, I was distracted by music and bouncing things. Okay.
Wait a minute. We had question 8.
Yeah, there
were two questions ago.
What? No, we didn't. We're on 9.
That was 8?
Wait. Hold on.
What?
I'll wait till the band ends here.
Okay.
Bump.
Freebird!
They don't end.
Oh, my God.
All right,
goodness.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. Question number 9.
Another fun one. How many tons of strawberries does Orange County produce a year?
Steve. 1.2 million.
Before you even finish the answer.
Oh. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
How
many tons of strawberries does Orange County produce a year?
Sean. 10 tons.
Paul. 120.
So far, Sean's the closest.
Steve. 150.
So far, Sean is still the closest.
Sean. 11.
So far, Sean's still the closest.
Paul. 47.
So far, Sean, still the closest.
I've forgotten 12. What the hell the question was. Say the question again, please.
How many tons of strawberries does Orange County produce a year? Sean, you are still close.
Paul. 29.
God, no one's getting where I'm going with this.
Steve. 12.
Sean,
yeah, I think you'll get it this time.
9?
God, no, maybe not.
All right. Steve.
10. No, that was my first answer.
He said like 3 times.
All right, what's the answer?
Paul.
I'm going to give Paul 10. One more chance. Oh, all right. 13,000 tons of strawberries a year.
Wow.
All right.
That's a lot of rhubarb.
Final question, and it couldn't come soon enough. Question number 10.
We've had 12 questions so far.
As if we're going to bitch about it.
Yeah. What 4 colors of eggs do chickens
Steve.
Make?
Sean.
White, brown, blue, and green.
Jesus, that is correct.
Wow. Holy cats, went out on a high note.
I'm sorry, it's not green, it's mauve.
No origin.
I knew hen.
That too.
Back when.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I hear the theme song. That mean we're ending?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's that time to go out and play, though.
We get to eat some fried food.
We get some fried food. We're going to try some stuff out. So I might throw some stuff up on Facebook, so check it out.
I'm going to check out that bacon-wrapped sausage.
I bet you do. Oh. So good. So good.
So good, yeah.
Paul, you going to hang with us for a while, too,
bud? I'm going to have bacon-wrapped sausage stuffed in a pork chop.
Oh. Bacon-wrapped in bacon.
Deep-fried with...
And then, then you take that and you hollow out a ham. Jam it in the ham.
Well, deep-fried turducken.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Well, we definitely want to thank Roxanne and Mike for hosting us here at the Orange County Fair and setting us up and everything with our booth and so forth. So thank you to both of you. And, of course, to our guest, Paul Preston from The Movie Guys.
Hey!
Wow, that was like timed perfectly.
We could celebrate a new event called Sausage Con.
Let's fire that up. They probably have that somewhere. Probably in Europe.
That or a gay bar. One of the two.
It's either in West Hollywood or Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or West Germany.
Or or West Long Beach, too. Anyway, but we'll be here hanging out. Come by, stop, see us, say hello, do whatever if you see us walking around. So, again, thank you to the Orange County Fair. And we got a guest next week, right?
Yes, Mr. Quentin Flynn.
Quentin Flynn, voiceover gentleman that's done quite a bit, and you'll learn more about him next week. So come on down to the fair. It's a beautiful day out here. Got a nice breeze going, beautiful sky out. Bring some suntan because Zach's turning red again. So
I'm a lobster.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, guys, so we'll catch you guys next week. And thanks for stopping by, and be good to each other.
Goodbye, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.